Good morning and a very warm welcome to Apentis People Tech Bite, the show that takes you through the latest cybersecurity landscape. In today's episode, we delve into a critical new development that has significant implications for businesses across the globe, the new cybersecurity disclosure rules by the Security and Exchange Commission. The SEC have introduced these rules to reshape the way companies must disclose their cybersecurity practices and incidents. This move is part of an increasing effort to protect investors and to maintain fair and efficient markets. Today, we'll be breaking down what these changes will mean and how they will affect your business. Before we kick this podcast off, let's have a quick rundown of the recent cyber news. BT announces new strategic security partnership with Google Cloud, targeting a range of joint innovation opportunities. As a first step, BT becomes an official reseller of Google Chronicle, including its Automonic Security Operations Framework. And now it's time to introduce our experts onto the podcast. Barney and Ermi, how are we both doing today?
Awesome. Always a pleasure to be here.
Anything interesting you guys have found this week about tech or cybersecurity that you would like to share with me and our listeners?
Well, I can't think of anything off the top of my head other than the new rule changes from the SEC. It's been quite interesting researching more into it and generally getting sort of up to date. It's been really interesting researching, etc.
So today's podcast is all about the new cybersecurity disclosure rules by the Security and Exchange Commission. Can you both tell us more about the new SEC disclosure rules? Barney, shall we start with you?
Yeah, absolutely. So these new rule changes, which were announced recently and are supposed to come into effect, I believe, sometime in December, early mid-December, they are sort of focusing on, firstly, on cyber policies and procedures that companies must take to, or at least adhere to remain in line with the SEC's regulations, and it's mostly to do with the mandatory cyber incident reporting. Now, what this mandatory cyber incident report focuses on two key documents, which are produced annually by companies that are regulated by the SEC. So firstly, we have what's called a 10K filing, which is an annual filing from a company. And in this document, they outline any sort of activities, major activities. And they're often released around times of earnings dates or key dates in the financial calendar, so to say. And what the new requirement is that in this 10K filing, simply put, these companies must outline the detail of their cyber strategy moving forward for stakeholders. Now, this is quite a top level overview, but the main change to this requirement or this new regulation is comes in sort of 8K form, which I'll speak more about. Now, this is essentially in this 8K form, any cyber incident that is determined to be a material risk to the business must be disclosed within 4 days of determining it to be such a risk. And when I say a material risk, essentially translates to an incident which has a significant impact on the company's financial position, operation, or relationship with its customers. And that's a quote from the SEC itself. And cyber incident, also defined by the SEC in this specific situation, is unauthorized occurrences or a series of related occurrences through a registrant's information systems that jeopardize the CIA triangle, so confidentiality, integrity, and availability of said system or any information residing therein.
Thank you for your expertise on that, Barney. Ermi, is there anything you would like to add?
Yeah, I just wanted to add on the 4 days that's required for the disclosure of cyber incidents. I believe Barney and I were just discussing this before the podcast, that it's really important to note that once a cyber incident has been made, has been determined as material, then that's when the 4 days period starts. So in this period, if you get special permissions from the US Attorney General to extend or delay the disclosure, that's the only exception you have to not following the SEC's guidelines.
Why is it 4 days? Is it some sort of, deadline?
Yes, that is the deadline.
4 days.
4 days.
Okay, so basically now companies are adopting new rules, which will then aim to provide investors with, would you say, comprehensive information on cybersecurity and risk management?
That is right. And I find that to be very challenging because SEC has made it such that it's worded very vaguely, and I believe it to be on purpose. But I do understand the challenges that could be associated with this, because it's really hard to determine the breadth of a cyber incident. You don't know how deep it could go. And I guess that's where the material keyword comes in, because it's the most difficult part of identifying a cyber incident.
Speaking about challenges, Omi, how would you say these rules will impact businesses, especially the ones that are small enterprises?
So essentially, these companies are being forced into implementing better cyber programs. They're forcing board members and upper management to be more involved and responsible in not only managing the cyber program, but also being part of the communication to the public about cyber incidents. That's what SEC is focusing on, so that there's a clear line of communication between a company and the public. So for example, if a cyber incident has occurred, companies can no longer say, oh, we've had a cyber incident on so-and-so date. They need to specify what kind of incident it was. If it was just one email account being exposed or compromise, they need to mention that, oh, there's one email that's been compromised. If there's a million user, if the data of a million users is exposed, then they need to mention, oh, there's a lot of data that's been exposed, specifically 1 million users.
Great points there, Omi. Barney, how about yourself? Are there any examples of impacts that you can share with us?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you imagine that small to medium enterprises, as Omi pointed out, are being forced to dramatically uphold their cyber defenses, their means of reporting, and also their sort of managerial communication, you can imagine that despite small to medium enterprises typically having less exposure based purely on the fact that maybe their systems and their networks aren't as vast, this typically means that their exposure is less and therefore it's easier to report on. However, due to the fact that there are such financial requirements that need to be undertaken to actually adhere to these guidelines, for example, streamlining their cyber reporting process, you know, you may have to bring in automated tools to scan for vulnerabilities, misconfigurations, etc., and compliance violations. It means that the financial burden is typically going to hit these small to medium enterprises a lot harder, because they tend to have a sort of constraints on their resources. And also, small to medium enterprises typically have quite a reliance on third-party vendor relationships, which means that not only does the company itself have to adhere to these requirements, however, they have to actually litigate and go through the process with every single one of their vendors, which you can imagine in terms of time, it is going to be ridiculous.
Yeah, that's a nightmare.
Yeah, can you imagine? So not only do they have to streamline their own process, they have to ensure that their third-party vendors are also doing the same. And they've got until December to essentially get this process up and running.
I believe it's the June of 2024.
Really?
For small companies.
Oh, my apologies.
Yeah, it's just the bigger ones that start in December,
right?
Like you said. And the smaller ones have a little bit more time to implement these new guidelines until the June 15, 2024.
Right, okay. Fantastic.
Can you provide us with key practical steps companies can take to ensure that they're all in compliance with these rules?
So the most important thing I think most companies should really focus on is defining a good cyber program. And I could simplify this into four key components. First would be to identify their assets, identify the risk associated with this asset. And this is in no particular order. Number two is being able to protect these assets. So there needs to be certain technologies in place that protect all their assets. Number three, it's to detect for any cyber incidents. And number four is to respond to it. And number three and four is essentially, so detection and response is the most important for the incident disclosure that SEC has sort of highlighted. That's the most important part. And again, I'm not prioritizing any of these key components. They are all equally important, but for the first, essentially for incident disclosure, you need a good detection and response management well placed in your cyber program.
Absolutely. And I think obviously the question was how do we sort of ensure that companies are adhering to this policy? Obviously that's a huge focus on the actual reporting and detection of it itself. But I think it goes without saying that an importance on an actual regular testing procedure will give you a clear outline of your exposure prior to requiring detection of potential attacks. So I think getting a clear understanding of your exposure on a wider level, which you can do through regular testing, vulnerability management, for example, and ensuring that you have a strict patching process. A lot of vulnerabilities sort of lie in wait simply through outdated software, which we see on a daily basis. And also ensuring that you have consistent backups of, for example, cloud environments, such as Office 365 and Azure, et cetera, and ensuring a strict sort of centralized authentication mechanisms for identity and access management. So if you can imagine that there's so many steps you can take that will make your reporting so much easier. And I think that there's a lot of occasions in which there's a lot of oversight that are a lot of focus in the wrong areas. So ensuring that you've got quite a wide defense on your cybersecurity posture is paramount, really.
And also, I believe the SEC has made it such that it's not just reliant on IT managers anymore, or just the IT staff, yeah, or the cybersecurity staff. It makes sure that everyone in the organization is a part of identifying the problem and coming up with solutions to mitigate them as well. And as I mentioned earlier, to disclose a cyber incident, you need a good detection and response mechanism, but you also need an internal auditor, you also need a legal team, you also need executive leadership team, as well as board of directors. And all of this together is contributing towards the communication factor. It needs to go through these channels to finally get to the public.
Agree with your points there. I do think these rules are very beneficial to everyone in a way, and I'm sure you both will agree with me that they are important, and not just important to people in the cyber industry, as it acts as official recognition that prevents danger or threats that can happen. And I think we've discussed a lot of crucial information so far. So now let's go to a short break. If you guys haven't already, be sure to follow our social channels to keep up to date with the latest cyber landscape. We'll be right back. And welcome back, everyone. Before the break, me, Barney and Omi were discussing the rules and steps companies can take to ensure that they're all in compliance with these new rules set. Moving on to policy changes now. How does this new policy change the landscape of cybersecurity management for companies?
Well, I think overall, these sort of cyber policies and procedures that are being introduced, they focus on sort of four key areas, which are pretty fundamental in cybersecurity. However, I'll mention them anyway. So there's a focus certainly on annual risk assessments. You know, there's an increased importance on clarity and transparency in your risk profile. Secondly, incident response and recovery. You need a defined process for, well, firstly identifying a breach, and secondly communicating that efficiently and actually reporting on it. Which is obviously the main process of the cyber incident reporting policy. And then recovery process, which I think it's a case-by-case basis for this. It obviously depends on on the effect of the actual the breach itself. Depends on what's been released or what's been accessed. So it's a case by case basis there, but you do need a defined recovery process or contingency. And more passively, I think threat and vulnerability management is underplayed. There are vulnerabilities out there which go undetected due to outdated software, etc., or just inefficiencies in the patching process in general. And so I think there are areas of focus which would dramatically increase your ability to adhere to these policies.
Great points there, Barney. And what would you say will be the potential consequences for companies that fail to adhere to these policy changes? Could it damage their cybersecurity structure, or will there be a lot more to it?
We believe the SEC will address this on a case-to-case basis, but I feel the most basic punishment for failing to adhere to these guidelines would be to pay a fine. And I think that fine would depend on the damage that could potentially be caused. And I believe it'll be a case-to-case basis. And since no company has yet to provide a 6K, 8K, or a 10K filing, we're not sure yet.
Is that how much the fine they're looking to pay?
No,
that's the form. The form. Name of the form. Yeah,
yeah, okay. I think it's a bit, it's classic SEC fashion. I think the failure to comply with something is a stringent financial penalty. And I think it's, this going back to the question you mentioned earlier about the impacts of small to medium businesses, if you can imagine, you already have this gross expenditure going into new technology or streamlining of reporting or training of in-house employees or testers, etc. You can imagine that the increase in expenditure on top of the technology combined with what could potentially be quite an expensive financial penalty, it I would imagine it would be representative of the size of the company based on revenue, etc. But you can imagine that this is going to be causing absolute headaches for people up and down America.
Absolutely. I think just in order to avoid that, I think the best case would be to adhere to these rules.
Yeah.
And these rules aren't an enemy to these companies. You know, it's mainly so that you protect your company.
It's
better.
There to help them.
Yeah, it's right. For their benefit and their stakeholder benefits mostly, and customers, of course.
Yeah, it's spoken to in a negative way. I feel at least saying, because essentially we're saying they're forced to implement cybersecurity solutions. Well, that it shouldn't be looked at that way. It's an opportunity to implement better cybersecurity protocols.
Absolutely.
Definitely agree with you both there. Can you guys share some examples of best practices for companies looking to improve their cybersecurity disclosure?
Right. So I think we need to reduce our reliance on the IT team of the company. I think if each employee is made responsible for their own machines and contribute as much as they can into protecting their own devices.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think in a lot of modern day companies, there's this idea that the IT department will fix everything and they're some kind of magic wizards and they can just turn stuff off and on and it fixes itself. But this requires a lateral shift in cybersecurity
practice.
Absolutely. Sorry. These people who are in most specifically in managerial positions, where maybe they have absolutely nothing to do with the IT department, are soon going to have to see themselves more involved.
Right.
And I think this is on an educational standpoint, and I think this is massively beneficial because there's no more sweeping stuff under the rug or kicking stuff to the IT department to fix or to hold responsible.
Right.
So I think generally, on a more holistic sort of perspective, this is great.
Right. You can no longer say that this was the CISO's responsibility.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because everyone in the C-suite, the CEO, the CFO, they are all involved in being responsible for providing the company with proper cybersecurity solutions, and being able to communicate any incident that's occurred in the company to the public, like we've mentioned previously.
I think before we wrap up this podcast today, I'd like to mention AI as well, as I think that's making a big change in all companies. What role do you both see AI and machine learning technologies play in helping companies comply with these new rules?
I think AI will hold a very important position when it comes to the more monotonous side of security analyst jobs. So, for example, if you can imagine, I believe it would be quite easy to automate, well, not automate, but using AI to analyze security logs, alerts, detecting anomalies based on signatures, etc., patterns and trends that are occurring in the company itself, to plot the future roadmap. So it might actually help companies provide companies with a roadmap going forward based on trends and patterns in the past.
Absolutely.
And also, as I said, the more meticulous side of things when it comes down to your logs and stuff, you can imagine that your SOC or your blue team is probably sat there doing this stuff anyway, but the introduction of machine learning will take some of the burden off what are often incredibly overworked parts of the cybersecurity team.
Right.
And generally, if it means that they're able to focus on certain areas, then that's fantastic.
Right. I just want to feed into what Barney said. So previously I mentioned a good detection system and a response for your cybersecurity management program. And I believe in this situation, AI would help a lot in detecting some of these vulnerabilities, like Barney mentioned, audits, the logs. It may be possible for a human to miss something that's out of the ordinary, but if you train the AI and it learns over time, keeps up to date with the latest vulnerabilities and software patches, it does really relieve some burden off of the IT and the security team. And I believe AI could help in this process. And I don't want to think of it as limited just yet, because we still don't know the full capabilities of AI. And in terms of the next 5 years,
who knows where it'll be in the next 5 years.
So in considering a short term, maybe implementing it in the detection and the response. We've seen Microsoft do that with the Security Copilot. That's just an example. But it's certainly going in that direction.
And that is all the time we have for today's episode. I'd like to thank both of you for your expertise today on this new matter. And for our listeners listening, be sure to follow these new steps and new guidelines today that Barney and Omi have spoken about. And be sure to follow the correct procedure of the SEC and this new move. It's been great having you both on today with me.
Thank you.
If you guys have any questions for Barney and Omi regarding today's podcast or any general cybersecurity advice you're wanting, please email hello@pentestpeople.com. Join me next week on another Tech Bite.